Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker?
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
Yeah, we have reached another end of a month. And that means we're back with our series, Shit Out of Luck, which we air the last Friday of each month. And we occasionally switch off with Let's Talk. But this week, we're going to dive into, or this month, I should say, we're going to dive into the Toy Box Killer. Before you do that, let me know your thoughts on this case in the comment section below. And if I get something wrong, get something right, please let me know. And with that, let's dive into today's story. On March 22nd, 1999, a woman ran down a dirt road in New Mexico, naked, chained with a padlock collar around her neck. Her name was Cynthia Vigil Jaramillo. Apologies for butchering her name. She was 22 years old, and she'd just escaped from one of the most twisted nightmares imaginable. She had been kidnapped and tortured for days before managing to unlock her chains and find her way out with an ice pick. Two cars passed her without stopping. Eventually, she found a trailer with the door wide open. The woman inside called 911. And that one call cracked open one of the most disturbing criminal cases in U.S. history. That case? David Parker Ray. Ray was a 59-year-old state park employee from Elephant Butte, New Mexico, a quiet desert town right next to Truth or Consequences. On the surface, he looked ordinary, but behind his house in a 22-foot white trailer, Ray had built his own personal torture chamber, a place his victims would come to know as the Toy Box. According to the FBI, Ray had been fantasizing about sexually torturing women since the 1950s, and by the time of his arrest, he wasn't fantasizing anymore. Cynthia met Ray and his girlfriend, Cindy Hendy, through a mutual acquaintance at a convenience store in Albuquerque. She had agreed to do sex work for Ray, $30 for the job, but when she stepped into his camper, everything changed. He flashed a fake badge, said he was a cop, cuffed her, and took her to the house. What followed was three straight days of torture. Ray and Hendy kept her chained up and subjected her to repeated sexual assaults. They shocked her with electrical currents using clips attached to her breasts and genitals. They hung her in the living room and whipped her. It was sadistic, calculated, and completely dehumanizing. But on the third day, Ray left for work. Cindy found the key to her chains, grabbed an ice pick, and when Hendy dropped her guard, Cynthia made her move. She ran. Cynthia's escape wasn't just survival. It blew the lid off a secret horror show running in plain sight. Once law enforcement showed up at David Parker Ray's property in Elephant Butte, they had no idea what they were walking into, but they would learn fast. After Cynthia's story hit the news, more victims started speaking up. Just days later, another woman came forward, her story nearly identical. We're going to take a quick break from this episode, and I'd like to discuss my sponsor, NordVPN. The service that keeps me confident and secure every time I go online. If you're not familiar, a VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, and NordVPN is one of the best out there for keeping your browsing activity under wraps. Why do I use NordVPN? First, it gives me total online privacy. When you connect NordVPN servers, all your internet data is encrypted. That means snoopers, advertisers, and even your internet provider can't see your personal info or track your digital footprints. It's like having an invisible cloak for your online life. Second, NordVPN is awesome for unblocking geo-restricted content. Love streaming sports from overseas or catching up on that show that isn't available in your country yet? Just open NordVPN, pick a server from one of their thousands of locations worldwide, and boom, you'll have access to content you couldn't see before. Plus, with speeds faster than ever, you can stream in high definition without those pesky buffering interruptions. Now let's talk simplicity. NordVPN's app is super user-friendly. Whether you're on a phone, laptop, or tablet, you can connect with just one click. And if you ever get stuck, their customer support is there 24/7. Another big highlight, NordVPN has a no-logs policy, which means that they never track or store your data. Your digital world stays yours alone. Lastly, if you travel often like me, NordVPN really comes in handy. Whether you're on public Wi-Fi at airports, hotels, or coffee shops, your data is always at risk. But with NordVPN, you can safeguard your connection and keep hackers at bay. No more worrying about whether your coffee shop Wi-Fi is safe. So if you're serious about protecting your privacy, accessing global content, and just having peace of mind online, NordVPN is the way to go. Give it a try, and I promise you'll wonder why you waited so long. Hit the link in the description to learn more and grab a special deal. Stay safe out there. Happy browsing with NordVPN. Now let's get back to the rest of our episode. She was an acquaintance of Ray's and Hendy's from nearby Truth or Consequences. On February 17th, 1999, a little over a month before Cynthia's escape, she dropped by the trailer to borrow some cake mix. Seemed harmless. Ray wasn't there yet, so she waited inside. Then the door opened. Ray walked in, this time holding a knife. Hendy had a gun. There was no way out. They stripped her, slapped a metal collar around her neck, and kept her captive for 4 days. Assaulted, tortured, same method, same sick routine. Eventually, she convinced them to let her go. She pretended to be into it, played along, gained their trust, and it worked. Ray dropped her off near the interstate and left her there. She found a cop and told him everything, but nothing came of it. That's right, she reported it, and still, Ray and Hendy kept going like nothing happened. It wasn't until Cynthia escaped that the stories started connecting. Investigators quickly realized they weren't dealing with amateurs. Ray and Hendy were practiced, organized. They knew what they were doing. And the fear was that there was more victims, maybe a lot more. One FBI agent put it simply, quote, "We haven't ruled out homicide." And so the investigation widened fast. Leads started popping up in Arizona, Texas, and eventually across 10 states, all connected back to Ray. More than 100 potential tips came pouring in. Back at his home, authorities found over 1,000 pieces of evidence, including photos of victims, not just pictures, but images that showed clear signs of abuse, torture, control. Then they opened the trailer, and that's when they found the toy box. The trailer wasn't just a crime scene, it was a torture lab, a personal dungeon, a place David Parker Ray built for one thing only: control, violate, and destroy people. They called it the toy box, and once you stepped inside, there was no mistaking what it was. Investigators found restraints bolted to furniture, whips, knives, leather belts, medical instruments. There was a gynecological table in the middle of the room, fully equipped with stirrups and straps, a camera system to record everything, a coffin, shelves of tools designed to inflict pain, and on the wall, a sign that read Satan's Den. This was Ray's playground, and his victims, they were his captives, stripped of their names, dignity, and autonomy. He had a whole system. When a new victim was brought in, Ray wouldn't waste time explaining what was about to happen. He had a pre-recorded audio tape that he played for them, a twisted intro to his world. In it, Ray described what he and Hendy were going to do to them. No mystery, no pretending. "You're going to be used and abused any way we want," the tape said. "You'll be repeatedly raped. You're our sex slave now." He drugged them too, often with barbiturates and sodium pentothal, substances meant to erase memory or at least blur it enough to make it hard to testify later. And he made sure they couldn't fight back, physically, mentally, or emotionally. All the while, the cameras kept rolling. And the more investigators dug, the worse it got. April 9th, 1999, a third person was arrested. Dennis Roy Yancey, age 27. Another name from Truth or Consequences, and a known associate of Ray and Hendy. Yancey wasn't just a bystander, he admitted to murder. Specifically, the killing of Marie B. Parker, a 22-year-old girl who vanished in 1997. Yancey said he strangled her in Ray's trailer on Ray's orders. According to him, Ray's own daughter, Glenda Jessie Ray, helped lure Marie into the trap. Now it wasn't just about torture. It was officially about homicide, and it was just getting started. Cynthia's escape wasn't just survival. It blew the lid off a secret horror show running in plain sight. after Cynthia's story hit the news, so far, we've got torture, kidnapping, and now murder. And just when you think David Parker Ray couldn't get more twisted, enter his daughter, Glenda Jessie Ray. Yeah, his daughter. Turns out she wasn't just around, she was part of it. According to testimony, Jessie was actively involved in helping lure in victims. One of those victims? A woman identified from a videotape found inside the toy box. She had a bird tattoo on her leg, enough for investigators to track her down. By the time they found her, she'd moved to Colorado, but at the time of her kidnapping, she was living in Truth or Consequences. Her memory was foggy, but not erased, not completely. Here's what she remembered. It was late July 1996. She went out for drinks in Elephant Butte with some friends, but by the end of the night, it was just her and Jessie. Jessie offered to give her a ride to a friend's house. Instead, she took her to her father's home. From there, it was the same script. The woman was handcuffed, duct taped, and a dog collar was placed around her neck. At one point, she was dragged outside like an animal, leash and all, then strapped to a bench, feet in stirrups, and sexually assaulted. And Jessie, she was there for the whole thing. During the trial, jurors were shown 6 minutes of video footage from this assault, enough to leave no doubts about what went on inside that trailer. By mid-April 1999, investigators had what they needed to move forward with 25 charges against David Parker Ray, including kidnapping, sexual assault, and criminal penetration. He wasn't just getting one trial, he was getting three, one for each victim. The first case, the woman from Colorado, went to trial in 2000, started with 12 charges, and ended in a mistrial when jurors couldn't agree, but prosecutors weren't done. They retried the case just a few months later, and this time, guilty on all 12 counts. In July 2001, Ray pleaded guilty to Cynthia's case. It was a strategic move. He took the deal to protect his daughter, Jessie. The third victim, the woman kidnapped in February 1999, the one who had asked to borrow cake mix, she died from pneumonia before she could testify. Her case was dismissed as part of the plea deal. Still, by the end of it all, Ray was sentenced to 223 years in prison. But that wasn't the end of the story. Not by a long shot. David Parker was sentenced to 223 years behind bars, and you'd think that would be the end of it. But nope. He didn't even serve a full year. In May 2002, just a few months after his conviction, Ray died of a heart attack in prison. Age 62, no final confession, no cooperation, no closure for the families of potential victims, just dropped dead, taking most of his secrets with him. And get this, before he died, he actually gave an interview. In it, Ray claimed he never hurt anyone, that all those sex toys, restraints, and torture tools were just for consensual fun, his words. Quote, "I get my excitement from making a woman happy. My trailer had numerous sex toys of different types. I did what they wanted me to do." Yeah, right. Meanwhile, Cindy, his partner in crime, cut a deal. Her original 25 charges were dropped down to just 5. She pleaded guilty to conspiracy to kidnap and multiple counts of accessory to kidnapping and sexual assault. She got 36 years, but only served 20. Released in July 2019. Free. Ray's daughter, Jessie, also got off light. She served 2.5 years behind bars, with 5 years probation, despite helping lure victims and being present during at least one assault. Another plea deal, another wrist slap. And here's the thing, Ray was never actually convicted of murder, not once. But the FBI still calls him a murderer. They believe there are more victims and more bodies out there. In fact, back in 2011, the FBI reopened the case and made a public plea. They released photos of personal items, jewelry, clothing, even random trinkets found at Ray's property. They hoped someone might recognize something, might help identify someone who never came home. That same year, it came out that Ray had written about killing up to 40 people in his journals. The entries were graphic, detailed, and horrifying, but here's the catch. Nobody knows if they were confessions or just part of his fantasy life. Even Cindy told investigators she believed Ray had killed at least 14 people and that he dumped their bodies around Elephant Butte Lake. In 2011, investigators found a foot-long piece of femur in the area. It was sent off for analysis. 2 years later, inconclusive. No ID, no match. And still, as recently as 2014, a retired New Mexico State Police Commissioner said law enforcement believes the remains are out there. They just haven't found them. So, give me your thoughts on the Toy Box Killer, along with his conspirators, in the comment section below. Do you think they got fair deals, or should they have been in jail longer? Let me know. Give us a thumbs up if you like your video. Hit the subscribe button down below. Hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. As always, you can find us on all major podcast platforms. And with that, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.